Good morning and welcome, everybody. Live Dharma Sunday for July 5th, 2015. Koyo Kubose here. So very, very glad you joined us the day after the 4th of July. Boy, I know everybody had a rip-roaring time. Everybody's activity level gears up a notch on a special holiday. July 4th is, I think, the only national holiday in the summer months. And everybody seems to be driving faster and, you know, getting excited about things. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Depends on the person. Too much fireworks sometimes. You know, not the literal fireworks, but acting out, getting into trouble, too much young energy. Us old folks just want to kick back. We went to relatives placed to celebrate the 4th. And, you know, as I was driving there, I go past some large valley areas, just grassy, and there were some cows grazing. And I thought, gee, cows, they don't celebrate the 4th or any other holiday for that matter. And although they don't miss it, and I suppose animals, well, sort of like not just cows, but our pets that we're familiar with, they don't celebrate holidays. You know, I guess we could say every day is special to them, and they don't need to look forward to a holiday or anything like that. But for we owners, since we have the holiday, you say, whoa, it'd be nice for them to have a special day once in a while and get something different that they don't ordinarily get. So I gave them our two dogs special treat and said, happy 4th. And I got an email from some Dharma friends and happy 4th, and American Dharma holidays. I always talked about this as a, you know, we built in to the excitement of society of a holiday. And so families get caught up in this. Children follow what their parents are excited in. And families and society as a whole celebrate these holidays. So why not piggyback on that excitement and personally, privately, all Buddhists should say, well, every American holiday should be an American Dharma holiday, and find some teachings, Dharma teachings, on the theme of whatever holiday it is. And, of course, 4th of July is about freedom. So in addition to focusing on the birthday of our great nation, freedom from the colony, of being a colony of England and so forth, and we all know that history, we could think about freedom as defined in other ways. Freedom from the self, ego self, and reorient ourselves to living a life of oneness and feeling a great sense of thankfulness that we can do this and that there is a way of oneness. So when we think about freedom, one emailer said, oh, I'm rereading Everyday Suchness, and on the chapter on freedom, I've been meditating on these words, where it says, quoting Reverend Gilmay Kubosa's chapter on freedom in everyday, his book, Everyday Suchness, where freedom is, there is happiness and peace. Yeah, that's nice. Oneness is our freedom. Very, very good. Well, I'd like to introduce our guest to give us a Dharma glimpse today. Shirlene Soyo has one on interdependence. And she lives in Chicago. In fact, she and her family were involved and active in the Buddhist Temple of Chicago, particularly their Girl Scouting program. The temple has a lot on its plate, not only Sunday services and Dharma-related activities, but a lot of community activities. And as you know, many churches of all denominations sponsor scouting programs. And BTC, or Buddhist Temple of Chicago, had a quite active scouting program. And so she was very familiar with the Buddhist Temple of Chicago. So I call on, I'm going to hit Interdependency by Shirlene Soyo.
Interdependence. Koyo-sensei once talked about the two eyes of Buddhism, impermanence and interdependence. This always stuck with me. Since that time, coming to understand and embrace interdependence has filled my awareness and become integrated in how I live. It is so easy to forget or take for granted the interdependence of life. Green plants provide humans with the oxygen we need to live, just as we provide the carbon dioxide plants need to live. When we inhale, we receive. When we exhale, we give. This is interdependence. When growing vegetables or buying food from the grocery store, it's easy to forget the earth, the sun, water, insects, and all the people who helped grow and get food to the grocery store. Rather than connect to this truth, to interdependence, we think, I planted the vegetables, I watered the vegetables, I bought this food with money I earned. Our ignorance and ego, like weeds, get in the way of understanding, and we cultivate our own suffering. When it is so easy to forget, how do we develop and maintain our connection to the truth of interdependence? We learn to beg like the Buddha. We learn to ask without expectation. We learn to gratefully acknowledge what we have already been given. We learn to accept, to graciously receive what is freely, selflessly offered. The Buddha begged for his food every day. Having been an ascetic for 6 years prior to his awakening, it is unlikely the Buddha had to eat every day. Also, his father was a wealthy leader who could easily provide him with food. So, if he didn't need to beg for his food, why did he? What better way to renew his connection to interdependence than by reminding himself that his very existence, physical and spiritual, is intertwined with everyone else's by begging, asking for help every day. With wisdom and compassion as his North Star, his direction, the Buddha begged as an opportunity to receive from and give to others, an opportunity to renew his connection to the truth of interdependence. Like wisdom and compassion, giving and receiving are two sides of the same coin, inextricably linked like the two sets of DNA intertwined in our bodies. When our giving becomes orchestrated, self-conscious, a desire to look good or feel good or reach nirvana, no matter how much we do for others, how much money we donate, how often we volunteer, how green we try to live, We continue to cultivate ignorance and ego. We cultivate our own suffering. When we lock ourselves in the dark room of our own ego, believing we do everything on our own, we are immersed in ignorance. Every time we breathe, everything we do with our bodies and our minds is directly connected to the two people whose DNA created our bodies. Without their contribution, including the time and effort of the woman who carried us, literally grew us in her body, we could do nothing. Any giving we do is only possible because of what we've already received. Only when we can ask without expectation and gratefully acknowledge what we've already been given and graciously receive what is freely offered. Only when we can beg like the Buddha can we truly, selflessly, freely give to others. This is interdependence.
Thank you very much. As I was listening to this topic, on this topic of interdependency, linking it to the idea of freedom, the theme of freedom, you know, if we wholeheartedly, sincerely accept the reality of our interdependencies, this is what is meant by spiritual freedom, or the teaching of freedom and liberation. I think this underlying whatever teaching we're talking about, when we fully accept it, meaning we become one with it, we just live it, okay? Go beyond consciously discussing or saying, well, yeah, this teaching is good, I decide to accept such and such reality or teachings. That makes acceptance and whatever teaching you talk about, we actually alienate ourselves or separate ourselves from the teaching itself. When we say, oh, there's the teaching, here I am as subject, and there is the object of that I'm looking at, this particular teaching or reality. And we overanalyze, we are conscious of our self as being separate from it, and we say, oh, isn't that great over there? I want to focus on that. That's another way of saying our ego self is so involved. Because then what follows is we said, oh, aren't I great that I could, we get proud of the fact that we have just decided to accept. And that kind of acceptance is not what we might call true acceptance. True acceptance is when there's a surrender, a letting go, or just being one with, living it, and not making it an object of discussion, decision, overanalysis. So this is the crux of a sort of a paradox of spiritual practice. We want a goal. We need goals. And I don't know whether you want to call it a knack or a taking a look at the dynamic nature of when we set goals and then we forget about the goal in the sense that we become one with it. This means to transcend means and end. You might say, yes, enlightenment, hey, that's my goal. And having said that, that's nothing wrong with that, having goals. But once we say that, and once we start to act and live, we do so totally. That kind of spiritual acceptance is what we're talking about. And I think that you know, where you just have free, what you might call innocence, you know. The kind of innocence that's a free-flowing surrendering innocence. Like young children and animals have. We cannot try to imitate that. Okay? But I like the word like freedom instead of non-attachment. In non-attachment, it seemed like the person is always admonishing themselves for feeling attached to this and that. Instead of that, you know, focus on the idea of freedom, the joy of free-flowing innocence. Just living, just doing, instead of judging, comparing. Banish things like envy and just saying that doesn't mean it's easy to become like that. But the first step is awareness of these things. And by constantly keeping that awareness fresh in us, then we start to become the way we think. Huh? Isn't there the saying, "I'll be careful of your thoughts, because your thoughts become actions. We have to be careful of our actions because they become our habits. Then our habits become our character. Then our character becomes our destiny, our fate, of our lives." Well, that's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep going, and you have a very wonderful day. Thank you.